Today we are going to learn about one of the most famous mitzvahs in the entire Torah. Everybody loves this mitzvah. Religious people like to talk about it. Secular people like to talk about it. Non-Jewish people like to talk about it. In fact, other faith systems have adopted this and have made it a mantra of their own. One of our greatest sages, a man named Hillel, said that this was the whole Torah. The rest is just commentary. And it shows up in this week's Torah portion, in the Parsha of Kedoshim, chapter 19 of Leviticus, verse 18. But I have to tell you, it doesn't show up as you might expect it to. There are no bugles blaring before it's introduced. It doesn't get brought in on a red carpet. It's not necessarily highlighted in any way. In fact, these words, which are so widespread, so well known, so ubiquitous, they don't even comprise a verse onto their own. I'm speaking, of course, about the words, V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. You should love your fellow as yourself. Some would say, in the voice of a famous rock star, pop star, it's all about love. It's all about love. V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. Let us study Torah together, my friends. Verse 18 is a continuation of mitzvot in the Torah that govern interpersonal relationship. So, for example, in verse 16, the Torah talks to us about the responsibility that we have to be kind to each other by not gossiping, by not slandering, by not defaming others. The Torah conflates that in the same verse with the mitzvah of do not stand by idly when your fellow's life is threatened, even if that's going to require a good deal of courage and bravery. Somebody's drowning. Nobody wants to jump into the water. Somebody's being attacked by a wild animal. You might be harmed as well. Then the Torah goes on to say, Lo tisna et achicha. Do not hate your brother in your heart. And this, of course, as the sages explain, if you take a look and you see that you do indeed have a responsibility to rebuke or reprove another, but you shouldn't do it in a way that you create a sin of embarrassment on his account. And essentially, when you reprove, if you intend to do it efficaciously, don't do it out of acrimony. And don't do it out of loathsomeness. You have to do it out of love. But the Torah does not follow with the words, you should love your fellow. The Torah then goes on in verse 18 to tell us, Lo sikom, which literally translates as you shall not take revenge. Then the Torah says, Velo titor, which literally translates as you shall not be resentful or bear a grudge. As Rashi explains, not to take revenge does not mean retaliation by slashing somebody's tires and breaking his windows. It does not mean a public campaign of slander and besmirchment. It simply means that if you would ask somebody for a favor, like for example, could he loan something to you? Because you needed a little assistance. And he refuses. And then the very next day he has the gall, the insolence, the chutzpah to ask you for a favor. What's your most natural response? You gotta be kidding. I asked you for a favor yesterday or an hour ago and you couldn't be decent about it. And now you have the chutzpah? The gall to ask me for a favor? The Torah says, no. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You don't do a favor, behave kindly, or give somebody a loan because you want to be nice because they were nice. You do it because Hashem, because God asked you to do it. It may be laws that govern interpersonal relationship, but ultimately our duty, our responsibility is not towards our fellow, it's towards God. God expects us to be kind, to be generous, to be beneficent, to be sensitive, to share and to care. God expects that of us. Even if somebody else is not very nice, it doesn't say turn the cheek. That's not a Jewish thing. It doesn't say that you should allow somebody to harm you. Self-defense is not only a right, but a responsibility. It doesn't say that you should do things even though they may bring you harm and the person wants to hurt you. It doesn't say that. You asked him, can I borrow your lawnmower? He said, no, I don't loan my lawnmower. But the next day he asked you for your car. Well, if you do it for your brother or your sister, then you should do it for your fellow Yid. That's a responsibility to God. Now, what happens if I'm big enough to do the nice thing, the right thing, the good thing, but I'm resentful? I say, you know, it's really interesting that yesterday when I asked you for a favor, you didn't have the decency to assist in any way, shape, or form, and it would have been no skin off your back. And here we are, a short 24 hours later, and you're asking me for a favor. I'm not like you. I'm really upset. I'm offended. I'm hurt. But I'm going to still do the right thing. In other words, you've borne the grudge. The Torah says you can't do that. You know, it's when you read verses like this that you realize that even if you call yourself a religious Jew, you might not be so religious. I mean, this is really difficult. These are hard mitzvahs, challenging commandments in the Torah. So you can't even remind somebody of their past refusal. And after all of this, tucked into the verse, the second half of the verse, before the words, Ani Hashem, I am God, which is a pretty important part of the Torah, I'm God. In other words, I can be relied upon to reward you. I asked you to do difficult things. I know, says God, I know it's not easy. Can you trust me? I'll take care of you. I'm asking you to do this because it's the right thing to do. Because it's the godly thing to do. And I'm asking you to be godly, godlike. I'm asking you to be sensitive and compassionate. I'm asking you to be loving. I'm asking you to be generous and kind. And I'm God. So if I asked you, and you did it because I asked you, it doesn't matter if they say thank you or not. I say thank you. I'm God. So tucked in between these very important ideas of I'm God, I'll take care of you, and don't bear a grudge, forget about seeking retaliation, the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. You shall love your fellow as yourself. Now, Rashi, seeking to elucidate these very strange words, shares with us a teaching of Rabbi Akiva, not of Hillel, who preceded him by generations. But rather, he says, Rabbi Akiva said, Zeh klal gadol batorah. This is a great rule. And essentially, the way Rashi explains this verse is that the Torah is introducing you to the principle that is underlying the just mentioned commandments. That those mitzvahs, as well as other mitzvahs between you and your fellow Israelites, are all about this notion that you have to treat your fellow lovingly. Now, Rashi doesn't speak about this in the terms of an actual mitzvah, in a halacha that says we're trying to govern your emotions. Rashi explains this on a pshuto shel mikra level, on a straightforward reading of the scripture. He says the Torah is introducing us to underlying foundational principles, as Rabbi Akiva taught, that it's a klal gadol batorah. Well, in pshuto shel mikra, if you read the verse straightforwardly, it kind of works that way. However, Rashi himself, in his commentary on Masechet Sanhedrin on page 84, speaks to us in a different voice. In the Talmud, we're talking about halacha. We're talking about the code of behavior, the things we need to do. And there Rashi says that the meaning is that we were warned by God not to do something that we wouldn't want done to ourselves. So Rashi avoids the emotional component. He says, again, this is just talking about behavior, and in fact, it's ruling out negative behavior. You wouldn't want to be ignored. You wouldn't want to be shamed. You wouldn't want to be cast aside. You would want to be included. Don't treat others that way. Make sure they're included. Make sure they feel good. You like compliments? Give compliments. You like being treated in a friendly manner? Treat others that way. The thing is that the verse, when it is read in a straightforward fashion, seems to have an emotional imperative. It says, V'ahavta. It says you shall love. And ahava, love is in the heart. Ramban, Nachmanides, he says, this is a very intense mitzvah. It's very intense, he says. He says, this is like the Torah is speaking to us somewhat euphemistically, he says. It's a figure of speech. It's a haflaga. Could anybody love another as much as they love themselves? The human heart cannot, by nature, accept or countenance this notion that you should have an emotional connection, that you should love another the way you love yourself. It's totally unreasonable, Ramban Nachmanides says. And he says the truth is, Rabbi Akiva rules openly in Masechet Bava Metzia on page 62, and in fact, this is the halacha. You got one glass of water, you're in the desert. Somebody is going to die of thirst today. Should you give the glass to the other or drink it yourself? Rabbi Akiva says, Chayecha Kredman, your life comes first. And that's the halacha. I was once told that the great posek, halachist of the 20th century, the post-war 20th century, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, was asked the question, if it's Matzoi Shabbat, Shabbat has come to an end. And then, you know, when I was a kid, a lot of people used to smoke. It was very common. He says, you got one cigarette. You're craving that cigarette. And another person is there with you. Your friend is craving that cigarette too. He says, from a halachic perspective, who gets it? And the questioner assumed, Chayecha Kredman, your life comes first. You get to smoke the cigarette first. Reb Moshe said, Chayecha Kredman, your life should come first. Give him the cigarette. But the point I'm trying to make is that not only is it unconscionable from a practical perspective, from the psychoschematic of a human being to love another like yourself is an impossible demand. It doesn't even pan out halachically. Halachically, we need to provide for ourselves first, save your own life first. So Ramban says the mitzvah is that in the same way you want good things for yourself, you should want good things for others. Rambam, Maimonides, in his codes, in the first book, which is called Mada, kind of like attitudes, the laws of Deis, perspectives and attitudes. What is the Torah way of looking at things? And there's a good deal of interpersonal relationship that is dealt with in this particular frame of halacha. Rambam, in Hilchos Deis, chapter 5, halacha 3 says, and I quote, Mitzvah al kol adam lehev es kol echad v'echad. It is a mitzvah, a sacred duty, a divine commandment for us to love each and every single one. And it is telling and compelling that the Rambam uses those words, each and every single one. The Hagos Maimonides suggests that it only refers to those who are appropriate in their behavior with regard to Torah and mitzvot. But the Rambam doesn't say that. He says, kol echad v'echad. And so the Rebbe, explaining this Rambam, leans on the words of the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya in the 32nd chapter, who states that it is a mitzvah to love everyone, even the same kind of person that the Torah says you have to dislike him, like a wicked person. And the Alter Rebbe says, Ahava mitzad bechinas hatoiv shabai, besina mitzad bechinas hara shabai. You love the good things about him, and sometimes the only good thing is that he has a soul, that he has a neshama. And you love all the bad things, like his behavior and his rotten attitude. But it's still a mitzvah to love him. And so Rambam says it's a mitzvah to love kol echad v'echad mi Yisrael, every single member of Am Yisrael, kigufoy, as you love your own self. And the Rambam uses corporeal terminology here. Kigufoy, like your own corporeal body. Shenemar, as it is written, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Maimonides does something very interesting. As he continues the halacha, he says, L'fichach, therefore. He doesn't say this is the meaning of love. He says, because you love, l'fichach, therefore, tzarech l'saper b'shvachai. You have to speak about him in a positive light. L'chus ha'mamayna, you have to be concerned with a loss of finances or possession, anything which is related to his monetary welfare. And the way you would care about losing or making a few extra dollars. We all like to feel good. We all like to be honorable and to be honored. Rambam says, you want kavod atzmei? You want to be respected. Respect all. Respect everyone. Because that would be the result of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So how's that done? What does it really mean? Nachmanides himself says you can't love somebody the way you love yourself. You just can't. The Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, the third in the Chabad Lubavitch dynasty, explains this in a revolutionary way. The words of the Tzemach Tzedek have become so widespread that I often hear people repeating them without the source. But the Mishnah says when you attribute Torah teaching to its proper source, you bring redemption to the world. And it should be sourced properly. Tzemach Tzedek has a book which is called Sefer HaMitzvos, a book of mitzvahs, Taimei HaMitzvahs, the rationale behind mitzvahs. It's a mystical book. It's a book of profound Hasidic teaching. And he has an entire chapter on the mitzvah of Ahavat Yisrael. And my friends, he says something of tremendous importance. Tremendous importance. None of us are perfect. I make mistakes. Sometimes they're not even mistakes. Sometimes they're just inappropriate. I'm not proud of it. I don't think you are either. But we all do things which are inappropriate. Beneath our dignity, the dignity of the soul God gave us, and the responsibilities He placed upon us. Simply stated, we do things wrong sometimes. And we do things right. Hopefully more often than not. We're all really very much the same. We all try to do good things. Most people I meet want to do what God wants. They just don't believe that God wants one thing or the other, but they'll tell me I'm a good person, and they believe they are, as I believe I am. And when I have to be honest with myself, you know, take a hard look in the mirror and say, that wasn't really right. I shouldn't have done that. I cut myself slack. And I know you do too. We all do that. Self-love causes us to be somewhat delusional. If you want an honest opinion, you're going to have to go to somebody who doesn't necessarily love you, or at least isn't blinded by the love that blinds you and I. Because we're blinded by love, self-love that is, we often fall into the trap of delusion. We kind of mitigate our inappropriateness while shining a bright light on the things we do well or excel at. That's natural. That's how people are. People will tend to minimize the things they do wrong and to highlight the things they do right. The Tzemach Tzedek says the meaning of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love your fellow as yourself, is give them the same treatment, the same dignity. Give them same. When you see somebody doing something wrong, do not automatically judge and assume the worst. Al todines chavercha, says the Mishnah, don't judge another until you walked in his shoes. We cut ourselves slack. Cut others slack. Sure, we acknowledge our wrongdoings. Sometimes we even engage in self-criticism. But we do so in a blunted way because we don't really think we're bad. And maybe we really aren't. But guess what? The other, the person you point a finger at, and you judge so harshly, he probably isn't that bad either. I could wax on, but I think you get my point. I think you understand what the Tzemach Tzedek is saying. And before I bid you farewell this evening, I want to take a moment to focus on, well, what's going on in the world. And instead of just talking about our own rotten situation and how we feel cooped up, let's talk about the fact that we've become very judgmental. We smugly say, I'm stuck in the house. So why are they stuck in the house? There's a tremendous amount of acrimony, communal acrimony, one community against another. I'm kind of almost like an outsider to all of it. That's the truth. I don't think I fit into the typical Haredi model, if you will. I mean, I try to be observant and serve Hashem with fervor and passion, but I don't follow the rulings of the Haredi rabbis in Bnei Brak. I don't. I try to live my life by the code of Jewish law, the Shulchan Aruch, and with the inspiration of the Rebbe. And I have a personal mentor. The Rebbe said everybody must have one. And when I have a personal question, I'll ask my mentor. And most of those questions are Avodat Hashem questions. If I have a halachic question, I'll seek out a senior rabbi, one who is older and wiser and more experienced than I, and I'll double check and make sure that I'm right and the rulings are appropriate. If I have a question about my taxes, I'll speak to my accountant. If I have a question about my health, I'll speak to my doctor. And if I have a question about how to manage human resources or what would be the best way to get a message out, I'll speak to an HR professional or somebody who's good at marketing. I know some things, but there's lots of things I don't know, and I'm not adverse to getting advice. I don't really follow in a blind fashion. In some communities, people do follow in a blind fashion. It irks others. This whole situation with social isolation or separation, the physical apartness, the not coming together at all, has caused a furor. And there are real issues. And there are those who have pointed fingers at segments of a particular community in an angry fashion. And I understand that. I think it's wrong. But much of the criticism isn't coming from a place of love. Be honest with yourself. If it was your own brother, you might criticize, but the criticism would be blunted. You might rail, but your railing wouldn't be as pointed, wouldn't be as sharp. We all need a little more love, my friends. We all need to cut each other a little more slack. And when somebody does something, don't judge the person with hate or anger. You can reject behavior. You don't have to write people off. I want to finish with this. None of us, I don't think, none of us can dream to measure up to the Rebbe's stature, to his greatness. In every area, so much greater than anybody else I've ever known. But there are things we can emulate. In fact, things we should try our best to emulate. And I have to tell you that the Rebbe was very opinionated, and he believed very strongly that certain attitudes or behaviors, that certain political maneuvers were going to be disastrous. And if you want to be honest, everything he said has been borne out by the facts. But he would never publicly criticize a person. He would speak about an idea or ideal. He would speak about a behavior, an approach. He would criticize the things people did without personalizing it. My friends, we all need a good dose of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Let's stop gashing each other. Let's put the anger aside. Let's try to focus on the subjects, not the objects. On the issues, not the people. And if we all have a little more sensitivity and a little more love, I do believe we'll be more effective in influencing our neighbors in a positive fashion. And hopefully, just hopefully, Ahavat Chinam, unwarranted love, will undo the impact of Sinat Chinam, of the unwarranted hatred that brought about our destruction in antiquity. We still don't have a Beit HaMikdash. Mashiach still isn't here. As Sinat Chinam robbed us of the spiritual wealth that was ours in the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, the Rebbe reminded us time and again, it will be Ahavat Chinam, unwarranted love, going the extra mile, that will Be'ezrat Hashem bring about Geula v'Yeshua, absolute, total, and complete redemption with the coming of Mashiach in our time. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen.